Gordon, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Good delighted. To be here. Yeah, delighted to have you here. So, Gordon, we've noticed, really, I suppose, a lot of us, and we're also hearing anecdotal stories as well from our listeners about people maybe not knowing the rules of the road as much as they would have maybe before, maybe not using their indicators or using the wrong lanes and roundabouts, maybe just some of the examples we've gotten into us here. Is it something that you've noticed maybe in terms of the standard of driving? Has it decreased maybe in recent years, or what are you seeing? You're out on the road a lot.
Yeah, it's a good question. Like you said, particularly at roundabouts, and the other side of it, there's probably a lot more traffic on the road than there used to be as well. So that's another aspect. But certainly you do see people doing the wrong thing at roundabouts, kind of not sure what lane they should be in. And just as a guide, I suppose, if you want a guide, there's such a thing called the 12 o'clock rule, which should normally be, it's just something to remember. Basically, anything up to 12 o'clock, from 6 o'clock to 12. Mm-hmm. So if you're going straight or left, basically, you should really be in your left lane, unless, and some roundabouts have this, they might have the arrows to go straight on in the right-hand lane. But generally speaking, 12 o'clock rule is you stay to your left and you approach in the left lane and you signal to leave the roundabout always, of course. Now, if you're turning left, you should have a left signal on and approach the roundabout. But if you're taking the second exit, so we'll say basically going straight ahead, followed ahead, you signal left after you've passed the first exit. Now, a lot of people are getting this wrong, or a lot of people are turning right with no indicators on and stuff. If you're turning right at a roundabout, so anything after 12 o'clock, say 1 o'clock to 6, anything from 12 o'clock on, you should really be in the right-hand lane with your right signal on. And again, once you pass your exit before your own, you indicate left to leave. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you look at it as a clock, and you should really look at those signs on approach to roundabouts, because there is a sign on approach, and look at the position of the road on the sign. Generally speaking, the 12 o'clock is usually straight on, and normally that's the left lane. Mm-hmm. And anything after that should be the right-hand lane. Look, to be honest, I was doing a lesson yesterday and someone drove straight out in front of us at a roundabout. People are panicking. I think people are distracted. There's a lot going on. So yeah, I think it's a dangerous one. Roundabouts, you know, and they're also designed to keep traffic moving. Yeah. So it's, you need to be confident going in. You need to scan on approach. You need to be looking. Is it safe to go? The other thing you'll see, some of the roundabouts, there's a lot of hedge growing them. There's like trees in the middle, and they're very difficult to see. Yeah. So you need to be cautious about those things. But yeah, I think people need to be aware of what they're doing at these roundabouts, because it's always too late when you have an accident, you know.
It certainly is. And I suppose that's something we're seeing as well. Obviously, like, unfortunately, we've heard of a lot of road fatalities. And I suppose, like, there's many different causes for that, obviously, that we won't go into, because obviously no one knows exactly, only the people that are involved as well. But, you know, you don't always hear about the near misses or even the collisions that cause serious injuries as well. So it is important, I suppose, that we all are aware of the rules of the road, number one. But also, as you said there, that we do take that extra care, because there are so many more cars on the road now. And, you know, we often see people being caught for speeding and stuff as well, and people are rushing and racing and things as well. So we do need to probably be that bit more careful and just take that little bit more time, because it you know, it is a dangerous place, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Well, for sure. And I think everyone seems to be very busy these days, you know, and everyone's rushing and going here and going there. And it's like, when you're in a vehicle, you're responsible. And there's a lot of vulnerable road users. There's a lot of scooters out there now. There's a lot of bicycles. There's a lot of people walking, all that stuff. And you need to be aware of vulnerable road users as well as you approach all these things, you know. But certainly, roundabouts are something people need to be very aware of. It's all in the rules of the road. I know we're going back to that book again, but if you're not sure, you can Google it. There's a lot on YouTube, but the rules of the road is the Irish law and this stuff, positioning, where you should be at, etc., you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I suppose it brings me to an interesting point that was raised as well that I thought was interesting, but I'm not sure how well it might work, Gordon. But it was a suggestion from a listener. They said that maybe should drivers be retested maybe every 10 years? And then as they get older, maybe should it decrease to maybe every 5 years? Is that something you think would work? Or I suppose we already have a backlog maybe when it comes to tests, don't we, at the moment? So is that something that mightn't be feasible?
Well, tested, it can be strong. I suppose personally, I'd rather see people maybe assessed and guided and discussion, because when you're testing someone, it's really, you're there just watching their driver and you give them, this is it at the end. Mm-hmm. Whereas when, like, I know in the UK they do a lot of this in fleet, they go in and they sit with people and they drive and they discuss and, you know, this conversation, and it teases things out, which I think is kind of better in some ways, rather than just testing someone every X amount of years, you know, because that can be stressful for people. Whereas if you're going in as an adult, sitting down, and you're just watching someone drive, and you have a chat about it, and you discuss even things like roundabouts, you know, you have this, and just bring the awareness back to it. Traffic lights as well is another very messy one. I know at the moment I live in Listowel, and there's a set of traffic lights there, and it's causing mayhem, and I watch, and to be honest about it, people are doing the wrong things. You know, when you're going straight on, you should be keeping well to your left. And I was going through those lights only recently in the left lane to go straight on. There was someone in the right-hand lane and they literally cut straight in front of me to go straight on, oblivious to what was going on. You know, so people need to be aware of what's going on. But I think assessments might be better than testing people every now and again. Testing is a very, you know, you've already passed your test for your full license, but certainly habits come in after a while. We all go to our own way of doing things. We forget to check this, we forget to do that. So I think an assessment, whatever amount of time, even to be honest about it, there's lots of driving instructors out there. I certainly get lots of calls from people saying, I don't feel comfortable, can I do an assessment with you or a lesson? No problem. I've done that, you know, for people to say, look, I'm a bit nervous of roundabouts. I'm not happy reversing or parking in shopping centres, for example, you know, because that's real life stuff. So a driving test is a particular thing, but real life is people going shopping, going to Tesco's and the Dunn's and all these places and finding it hard to park, and they find it stressful. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of stuff I'd be trying to get people to do is practical everyday stuff and just sitting with people and have the discussions. I think it actually helps a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Mm. I'll be honest, I didn't even think that was a thing that people could ring up after a couple of years and get a test. I suppose it just hadn't dawned on me, but it's interesting to think that it's something that people are considering, I suppose, and great to see that they're proactive about it as well.
Yeah, and I will often get people that were involved in some kind of a collision at some point, and they say, look, I've lost my confidence. And I would just go for a drive with them and see how we get on and just try and get their confidence back up. So there's lots of reasons for all these things. Mm-hmm. But think more of helping people rather than testing people. Testing can be, you know, a bit black and white.
Yeah, stressful as well, as you said as well, it can be. Thinking of younger drivers and that assessment and the learning, I suppose, of it as well. Like, they are going through a rigorous process in a way because they're learning before they do their test and they have to sit a number of different lessons with the likes of professional instructors like yourselves as well. Do you think that that's working well? Is it kind of giving them, I suppose, really good training before they actually get to even sit the test in the first place?
Actually, if I'm being really honest, I don't think it's working well. Mm-hmm. For example, when you get your permit as a young person, you have to do 12 hours and you cannot apply for your test until you have that permit 6 months. The problem is most people, which they rightly do, they do all their 12 lessons and get it done in the 6 months and then they apply for their test. And then they might get a test for 3 months. Yeah. The wait list was shocking there for a while. I know the RSA are trying to get that reduced. And the problem is you had a massive gap. Mm-hmm. So people within would ring up the week before their test without really practicing or practicing but not the right way, etc. So it's a longer process than, so often, okay, the basics are done in the first 12 hours, the 12 EDTs, but like you were talking, a couple of months later, that's the problem. Yeah. So you've got this big gap, so people are losing their confidence again, and then there's a little bit of a panic. So I think the RSA could improve that side of things for sure.
Would you obviously be advising younger people at the moment, how it stands, that if they are undertaking lessons with the likes of yourselves, for example, that they have the test booked, I suppose, so that that time frame in between is shortened?
In the ideal world, yes. I mean, earlier on this year, I know that driving tests were taking about 30 weeks, approximately. They're trying to bring it down to about 10 weeks, mm-hmm. but that needs to happen. They need to improve. Now, they obviously have taken on testers. There's new testers on board, so that's trying to speed up that. So people start off are doing fantastic. They're getting in their 12 lessons. That's right, I'm ready to go for this, or at least I'm close to it. Mm-hmm. And next thing, say, okay, apply for your test. And they're ringing, I didn't get called yet, is there something wrong? It's been 3 months, you know, so. And the other side of this, like, we know there's an expense attached to this. And you can say to people, well, what I think you should do while you're waiting for your test is keep doing driving lessons. Because if it's X amount of months, you know, you'd have a fortune spent. Yeah. So, but you still have no choice but to do your 12 hours first, your EDTs, and apply for it. But it's the gap in between that needs to reduce for sure. There's a big gap and that's an issue for sure.
Okay, that's interesting, actually. And you spoke earlier, Gordon, as well about bad habits, and I know we all pick them up, I suppose. It's probably just part of human nature. Is there any way, I suppose, that we can kind of teach ourselves not to do that, I suppose, or to keep up to the good habits, we'll say, once we're driving on the roads for 10, 20 years?
Well, I suppose, personally, I suppose you could do a lesson with an instructor, you know, every now and again, maybe just do one. But realistically, another thing, like, the rules of the road has a lot of stuff in it. And I think if people just looked at that every now and again, because you'll know if you're kind of weak in an area, the road will let you know. People will be hooting. They'll have all these warnings. So there's things you could do to that. But I would say the distractions is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Get away from the distractions. There's too much distractions there. You know, phones are ringing, all that stuff. You got to focus on what's important. And I think if you can stay away from the distractions, that's a lot better as well for people, you know. So that's my advice on that.
Yeah, it certainly is. You were talking earlier, I suppose, about different areas and different instances of people, you know, that you've noticed yourself experience, I suppose, pulling out in the wrong lanes and things like that. Would you like to see maybe the RSA or somebody like that? Or I know we obviously have a really proactive road safety officer in the council now as well. Would you like to see maybe someone taking on responsibility and maybe rolling out an education campaign, I suppose, just to kind of remind people of those basic rules that I suppose we all probably should know, but, you know, some of us do forget along the way?
It'd be great, fantastic, and education, and it could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be schools. Well, schools are great, they already have, you know, some things in schools, but there's association, there's any place people, adults meet up, you know, get someone to come in and have that chat and say, this is what we've noticed on the roads, let's talk about it, you know, and you get the discussion going on, so on whatever the topics are. But yeah, I'd like to see something. I think there's a big gap there, and I think it needs to be addressed. I think something could be done to help people, you know, because people get nervous and maybe they feel a bit silly asking questions, but often in a group you can have great discussions, and you'll find that might be the person next to you that's asking the question you really want to ask but you won't, you know, so it's a good thing. So yeah, I'd like to see something like that for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. And just before we finish up, I suppose you mentioned distractions earlier, and I suppose we are also reliant on our phones, or, you know, as you said, we're busy, we could be thinking of something else, or the long list of jobs we have to do in the afternoon when we get home, for example. So there is a lot of distraction, and the roads are busier, as you've said as well. As you look to the future, maybe, are you worried about the driving habits on our roads, or do you think that it is an issue or could become maybe a serious issue?
To be honest, I think it already is a serious issue. I mean, the figures aren't out yet for this year, but like that, we know there's been a lot of accidents, a lot of road deaths, you know, and there's still a lot of young people passing their tests going off buying big cars, you know, and powerful cars. So this needs to be addressed now, I think, you know, whether that's enforcement or whatever it is. There's a lot of stuff going on the roads that needs to stop, you know. It's gone too serious, it's too dangerous. There's lots of accidents, lots of near misses, a lot more traffic on the roads, like I said. So we need to be very aware, and the distractions can be anything, phones, tablets, all that stuff. And particularly as well, someone was saying to me recently, which I think is a very good point, a lot of new cars now these days are coming with the screen, it's like a tablet in front of them. Mm-hmm. And they said it's just, there's even distraction in these, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot more, I believe, rear-end accidents as well, which would say people are looking at something else and not what's immediately in front of them. So yeah, this needs to be addressed now, absolutely.
Yeah, but you did mention the rules of the roads, and they're able to be accessed if people want to have a refresher. Can they just Google it and it just comes up, or where can they get it?
You can absolutely. You can get it in any bookshop, or you can download a PDF online, no problem. And to be honest, sometimes I would go to myself, you know, because you'd be just, okay, I need to look at this, and you'll find it. So and all the basic stuff there is there to help you, you know. Mm-hmm. Positions, like you spoke about, roundabouts, junctions, traffic lights. Can I go into the middle of a junction if I'm turning and stop, and where do I stop, and you can't stop here, and you can't. Well, actually, it's amazing what people are doing the wrong way. Do you know what I mean? To be honest, so there's all the information is in that book, and I think maybe it'd be no harm for people to have a look at it, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I suppose, Gordon, it's all about keeping ourselves and everyone that we love safe on the roads, isn't it, really?
Well, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That as long as you're doing the right thing and be aware of what's around you, I think. Look, this time of year particularly, we all know it's very difficult to drive this time of year. A lot of the roads, they're not well lit up. There's no cat's eyes in them. It's difficult to see. It's dark early. I'm teaching my own son to drive at the moment. We often go in the evening, and he said that's what he finds the hardest, is the reduced visibility in the evening time. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's lots of strong lights. There's lots of, a lot of new cars have these LEDs that are extremely bright. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with all that stuff? So, yeah, you've all these things.
Well, Gordon, look, thanks a million for coming in. It's been great to have you on the show, and you give us some great tips, I suppose, and advice there. But it's been lovely to talk to you. So thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome. Anytime.